NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the tricky triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono, streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey everybody, welcome to Three Fat Truckers, episode 105. Hit us up on, we're streaming live tonight on Facebook. Hit us up on the socials, email show at 3ftpodcast.org. You can comment directly on the website, 3ftpodcast.org. The socials, we're on the Facebook, as I said. The Facebook is kind of where it's at. Dave's got other stuff set up, and he's real good at getting back to you if you're more of a fan of using X or Instagram. The TikTok, make some TikToks, make a lot of TikToks actually, and that's Dave too. But pretty much everywhere where we're at, if there's a platform out there that you're just hella fond of and you're not willing to go anywhere else, let us know what it is. And if we're not there, maybe you just
on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X. We're on 5, is the 5 that I got. We got people chatting, we got Steve in there, we got Thorn in there, so yeah, we got people on live already. So
right on, excellent.
Yeah, so
good to see everybody. Like I said, episode 105, 105 episode. It's weird seeing that number up there. We could not be joined. Well, I don't know. Dave, Steve and Malia are on location down in, how's that going anyway? Were they able to participate in the truck show down there?
All day today. They had a wonderful time down there from what I was talking to them today. They got to do some big interviews. They sent me a lot of content. I'm trying to edit down a 10-minute video with Bonehead Trucker down to get it so you can sit there and listen to it. But it's pretty good. They managed to stay out of the rain. It's very humid. It's almost 90 degrees, very hot. So yeah. And then as soon as they loaded up to leave, the rain broke loose, pouring like crazy. So they're encouraging all of us to come down next year. They look like they're going to be maybe moving it indoors. They're looking at a place, someplace close in the area, but it looks like they're slowly building. It's the first one, so like all of them, it's the first, and we'll see how it goes. But I think they had a wonderful time. It sounded like they had a good time today. Some kids were making bracelets, and Malia got a bracelet made, and they got some Bonehead Trucker shirts going out. I don't know if Steve's got any of ours, but I imagine they passed out cards and bags and the whole 9 yards down there. So I sent the golf cart down with them so they could at least get around it. And
well, it was for a good cause too. I don't have the details in front of me, but I know that it was a Bonehead Trucker thing put on to benefit a driver that's suffered some tragic circumstance in his life. And, you know,
He went in for surgery for one thing, and what they did messed up a bunch of others and put him totally out of commission, which is sad. He's a young guy, and I got 2 little kids, and they're trying to raise some money for him. So,
it's all good. So, how'd your week go?
I had a pretty uneventful week. My normal Texas run, nothing too outstanding. Got a couple tires fixed this week, and I'll tell you, when you go to the small independent tire shops, you drive in, I'm down Love in Texas.
I know.
You know the place I'm talking about.
You get that little glimmer in your eye and a little smile creeps out whenever you talk about some of these places.
You pull into these places and they treat you like royalty. They're not overly busy. They don't mess around. They don't piss around. They get the job done. They don't gouge you on the price. And it's just such a good experience. You know, I got two tires fixed in 28 minutes. 28 minutes.
That's just insane.
It's crazy. Not changed. Fixed. Took off the rim. Fixed. They had both had a screw or a nail in it. And one with a real slow leak. Fixed. That's just, it was just amazing.
Tell us the name of it and where it's at.
I don't know. It's in Cleveland, Texas. I don't know the name of it. I don't remember seeing it.
In and out. They're so fast, didn't even catch the name.
There's two overseas container with a metal or one of them canvas roofs over it. And you're back in there and.
Oh, yeah, they kind of improvised a building there for you to back into with overseas. Okay, well, it's across the street from the Loves truck stop in Cleveland, Texas. They're on Highway 59, just north a piece of Houston there.
That would be F&G Tire Repair.
Well done. Look at your receipt. Google skills.
Well, no, I had the receipt and I sent it to her. So I looked on the receipt. Yeah, they hooked me right up. So you guys out there, F&G Tire Repair, go there, give them the love. They will treat you wonderful.
F&G.
Yep. You don't have to get out of the truck. You don't have to sit in a little break room for 2 hours while they try to get the one guy when he's done with the oil loop to get you fixed up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So,
I've been by the place. I stop and at that Loves from time to time. It's kind of a prolific stop on the way down to Sinton, the place that we go to. And I know of the place. I've not had to use it yet. Dave's been in and out of there
a couple times
now.
Well, I know if I got a flat, I save it for there. If I can up on it slowly.
He'll drag a flat tire.
I'll air it up twice just so I can get there and get the love. But you kind of take the other place across the street, and I haven't been there yet.
Oh, yeah. There's a Taquiera. Am I saying that right? Taquiera?
Yes.
Somebody in the comments will no doubt
correct
me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, there's a little trailer. A couple of local women run a little Taquiera right there across the street. And that's I love that shit, though. You know, that little trailer food, you know, where they set up and got the grub. Yeah.
I think I told it on the last show about that taco. I stopped and got a taco, and it was the size of a burrito time she was done. And I'm like, you're killing me, lady. It was so big.
we're not gonna get in your way, though.
No.
Don't let us stop you. Don't let us slow your roll.
It was funny because I walked up there and I said, I'll take a taco. She goes, you want beans? I said, no. She grabbed a taco, threw it on the tray, warmed it up. Got it ready, turned around, looked at me, goes, you want beans? And I go, apparently I do. You keep asking me. So
sometimes I want them, like, you're talking about like inside the burrito, right?
Yeah. Well, this one was at the truck stop there. And I was in Orange, Texas, right there.
Yeah.
And I stopped a little marathon and they had the little inside. But it was still wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I love those places. We got some. I mean, they're getting kind of easy to find these days because, as a matter of fact, the wife and I went to gas station Taquiera today for lunch. And and I tell you what, two people, $44. And I even had a beer with it, you know.
Yeah.
Just you can't beat a full authentic Mexican dinner for that much. The place is called Rigo's Taquiera there in on my side of town in the Marathon station. If you could get past the fact that you're eating next to a gas station in the same building, but there's a few places that are like that. And they're
talk about Mississippi gas station food.
Oh,
you cannot go wrong with Mississippi gas station.
Make sure you're taking your cholesterol medicine, but yeah, I'll tell you what. Oh, the chicken. The
Oh, by the way, guys, if you're on the live stream and you want to talk to Malia and Bill, go ahead and text them. They're out there. They're watching it. So you can get a hold of either one of them right there on the live stream, too. So.
Yeah. They're in the they're in the chat right now. They're taking your questions.
Yeah.
Taking your questions.
They're in charge of the chat room tonight because we're busy doing other things. But
I try to stay up in there, but I can't. Facebook. Yeah. Okay. So if we were doing YouTube, I could put the chat in front of me. But since it's Facebook, I can only do it on the screen. So I have to like turn my head every now and then. But yeah. Anywho, we soldier on. Looks like we got a little bit of news here in the notes to look at. Trucking's historic slump, how overcapacity and underdocumented drivers reshaped the industry. Now, this sounds contentious.
And I didn't even go through CDL Life this time.
No, you didn't. You went. This is Craig Fuller, CEO at FreightWaves. And I read on. The trucking industry has faced its longest and deepest downturn in history. Beginning in March 22nd, this prolonged slump, known as the Great Freight Recession, has driven many trucking companies out of business. A sluggish goods economy contributed, but the primary cause is excess capacity. During the COVID-19 pandemic, high freight rates and government stimulus coupled with cheap credit spurred an influx of new trucking companies. Unfortunately, the overcorrection flooded the market with capacity, causing freight rates to collapse. To avoid bankruptcy, trucking firms slashed costs. The largest expense, driver wages, proved challenging to cut as experienced. Documented drivers resisted reductions. Many small firms turned to hiring drivers without work permits to reduce expenses. No, that's
keep reading.
These workers often obtain commercial driver's license in the U.S. Mm-hmm. without passing a domestic CDL test. Some states accepted foreign CDLs without verifying the driver's experience or qualifications, meaning many never proved they could safely operate an 80,000-pound truck. Additionally, some drivers lacked proficiency in English, complicating communication and compliance. Trucking became a lifetime for many immigrants, offering steady work, decent pay, and a place to live. As most truckers reside in their vehicles. I knew that's what they meant by that. This job's as close to being homeless as I've ever been in my life.
Yep.
For many, it marked a significant improvement over poverty in their home countries. These undocumented workers often accepted lower wages than their American counterparts and endured poor working conditions and unsafe equipment. In 2016, Department of Transportation officials were reportedly instructed to overlook driver CDL qualifications and work permits and to accommodate those who didn't speak English. As a result, drivers without proper documentation or permits could not be placed out of service if DOT officials knew they lacked credentials. Now, this influx of unqualified and undocumented drivers sustain excess capacity, keeping trucking rates low and bankrupting compliant companies with qualified U.S. drivers. It also increased highway dangers, as evidenced by rising fatality rates involving heavy-duty trucks. The Trump administration has issued new guidance to enforce stricter labor, CDL, and English proficiency standards for truck drivers. Drivers caught operating without proper documentation or adequate English comprehension now face being placed out of service and potential deportation. While I deeply, and this is the writer speaking, and while I deeply empathize with immigrant struggles. This situation poses significant safety and fairness issues for the trucking industry. I hope these measures help the industry recover and thrive once again. Now, it's important to point out that this is basically a blog post by this guy, the CEO at FreightWaves. So they reflect more than anything else his opinion about how the things have gone. But I think there's not much in here.
I think he nailed it pretty close to what we've.
Yeah, I think there's not much most people would argue with in here.
Yeah.
To be fair. But
because we've seen it. We've seen it from, you know, we were out there during COVID's full blown, you know, and all of a sudden we were the only ones out there and us and trucks, and then it multiplied. And then COVID ended and there was a flood of trucks everywhere. You know it, I seen it. We were hauling freight like crazy, and then all of a sudden we've noticed that the freight slowed down, but the trucks didn't. They were everywhere out there. I mean, we seen it. And
Let's take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some things. Dave and I have talked about this before. Some things drivers can do to, I won't go so far as to say immunize them from these things, but there are things a driver can do to make themselves more marketable so that they don't suffer from these sort of recessions in freight the way a lot of people are really suffering.
We've actually talked about it on XM Radio last week.
Yes, we did. Yeah. So, all right, give us a quick minute. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into that.
NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the Tricky Triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono, streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And we're back. Like we said, we got into this article from FreightWaves, from the CEO of FreightWaves, talking about some recession kind of things going on in the trucking industry as a result of I don't know, oversaturation, and then of course the price. A lot of talk right now with immigrant drivers and not speaking English and things like that, and it just flooded the market with these things. What can drivers do to maybe separate themselves from the dangers of dealing with this kind of thing? What can a driver do? I've said it time and time again as a truck driver. Diversify your skills. Make sure that you are available to do things that maybe some people are not. You know, get out there, learn flatbed, learn roll off, learn dump trailers, tankers. You know, do things that might be a little bit outside your comfort zone, and then get jobs that
do these
things.
What's a roll off? What's a tanker?
Well, you got to go and learn what those things are. Yeah. I mean, hit us up on the socials. Email the show at 3FT Podcast. Yeah,
everybody knows what a van is, and they think that. And the majority of the freight that probably was taken by the van work. But, yeah, diversify yourself. Make yourself more marketable by being diversified. So you can literally go anywhere and do anything. We are that way. That's the way our company is. I had a friend of mine goes, you guys hiring dispatcher? And I go, yeah, we're looking for a couple. And they go, what do you are? I'm experienced in van. I said, we do everything. She goes, well, what do you mean everything? It was funny to her to figure out that we're heavy haul. We're flatbed. We're drop deck. We're power only. We work for crane companies.
We've even done some tankers. Yeah.
We do dump trailers. We do roll off boxes, special waste boxes and boxes for GM, and just, we're very diversified in what our company can do. And if the driver that is able to do all that, when things get slow, the company won't lay you off because you can come in and do whatever you need to do. So drivers, that's something you need to really look at, is broaden your horizon so you can do all this. Because yes, some of it is a pain in the butt. Personally, I think some of it ought to pay more than others. And some of it does, you know, if you're all in hazmat, dangerous stuff, it should pay more. If you're hauling, you know, roll-offs where you got to get out and do twice the work that you do, it should pay more. And most companies don't look at it. It's a truck driving job. But
well, and should you be able to get a job at one of these, you know, Swift or whatever, just hauling van trailers, should be you be able to get one of those jobs and make a decent living? Well, sure you should, but you know what? Nobody is going to make sure.
Well, you can only if you run yourself to death.
Yeah, and nobody's going to make sure that you've got your shit together except for you, because you know that when you're at the mercy of somebody else, then somebody else is going to put their priorities above yours, you know, so you've got to look after yourself.
So like us right now, both of us right now are not carrying hazmat endorsements because what we do doesn't require it. And to go spend the $140 a year to go get the background check is a waste of money if we're not going to use it in our line of operation.
We do a lot of scrap. If we did need it, if we would go get it. I would go get it in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Because that's something you have to update every year. Every year. It's not like, you know, our CDLs you don't, but that you have to.
You're actually adding a whole nother skill set that you have to that you have to be tested for every year.
I have public passenger on mine, so I could literally haul buses. I can't do school bus now.
Oh, you can't do a school bus?
No, they added another endorsement. School bus says you have to have a school bus endorsement now.
So they actually make it harder to go do that job.
Yes.
That seems counterintuitive.
I don't know why they make it harder while you want to ride with a bunch of screaming kids that you can't.
It's already harder.
You're on camera, you know, and you just got to sit there and take it. Don't make sense, but.
Yeah, we've had a sharp shortage of school bus drivers in this area. I think they're starting to pull out of it, but
I think it's everywhere, isn't it? I don't think it's just us.
That's just one of those jobs that really, I don't think it was ever meant to be like a career path that you pay all your bills with. You think about who used to drive the school buses.
Usually teachers, gym teachers, librarians,
people that didn't really need it to be a full time, you know, farmers' wives and things like. Yeah. Remember seeing the school buses parked next to the barn? You know,
my neighbor was a farmer and he was my bus driver. It's 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon, and then he farmed the rest of the day. So
that's actually quite a bit, I think, 3 hours.
That's about what it takes with, you know. He was lucky enough to take his bus home. Today, I think you got to go to the – it'd be worse today because now you have to drive to the terminal, which used to be next to your house there. And then, you know, the south barn used to be next to your house. And then go run your route, come back, and then go home. So you got 4 hours. You got 8 hours tied up in the day, and you get paid for three.
That was part of the problem with keeping the drivers too, because there used to be two terminals in Fort Wayne, one on the south side.
Are we down to one now?
We're down to one, and it's all the way on the north.
By me,
Yeah, it's way out there. Yeah. And so when they did that, they had a mass exodus of retirement age drivers, and they had a tough time bringing about. You remember me complaining about the
Mm-hmm. I remember there were no buses.
Day after day, they weren't picking the kids up, and there was some days.
School's calling you going, hey, your kid's not here. He's still standing at the bus stop.
Yeah, no shit. You never came to get him. So.
Yeah.
So. And they wouldn't penalize the kids for not making it to school because, you know, having a plan B is, should people have a plan B? But, you know, it's not always feasible at all. You know, families don't have the support structure that they once did.
Did you ever get the honors of riding a bus? You lived out in town.
Like part of my ninth grade year, because I had a car when I was 14.
Yeah. Let me give you my bus parent nightmare today.
Okay.
Back then it was nothing. Nobody thought nothing about it, but we literally were going to school. We turned the corner, lived in the country. The bus was spinning and couldn't get up the hill. So the drivers told all the girls to get to the back of the bus and all the boys get out and push the bus to the top of the hill. And we did. And then we went on to school.
That's customer just, participation right
we,
there.
We just took care of life. Now today, lawsuits, the driver would be strong, you know.
The kids would be out there with their
flip-flops on in the middle of winter time, you know, trying to
be a candlelight vigil. Right there next, because all them kids out there in their pajama pants and flip flops trying to push a school bus
in the snow. Yeah, I just,
I don't know what you want me to do. They didn't teach us how to do this on Fortnite.
This is not my job. But I went to a country school. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody farmed. You know,
hey, one of them I got my old country schools there. Where
that's right.
Everybody knew what they supposed to do.
But I back to our story here, I do actually feel that, because we talked about that, everybody got into trucking when COVID hit because it was the only thing going. Remember that we were just every new company. And then when COVID left, it's like, okay, they held on for a while, but then there's no work. We got too many trucks out here, not enough freight moving. So
I remember thinking, it did seem like there was a bit of an influx there. And I remember thinking, you really don't want to base your business practice on the way things are going during a pandemic, because that's
really,
yeah.
For the drivers, I didn't have to go on the dock.
Oh man, it changed
the building.
It changed some things for the better. I mean, no, I'm not saying it was good for everybody. You know, I know a lot of people lost their lives, but by God, I stopped having to go on the dock and count shit that was going in my trailer there. And a lot of those changes have never been reversed. We've got customers that stopped letting us on the dock, so we didn't have to go and do anything there. They just did all the work. We have other customers that used to, remember OmniSource used to send you a little ticket through the thing and you had to give that to the guy loading your truck and then...
Yep. Remember standing there, they'd hand you, you're getting 11 boxes of copper. He'd hand you, pick out where you want them on the trailer because they're all way different. Check the weights, make sure they're right. This is your job, not my job. I drive the truck, you know.
I got to say, though, in some cases, I did appreciate being able to control, depending on how far I was going. We have a customer all the way out in Reno, Nevada, and it was kind of nice knowing the weight of the boxes and then being able to control which boxes go where.
They lie to you.
Those numbers are bullshit.
I had to drive 20 miles to a Love's, weigh it, drive 20 miles back and say, you're wrong. I'm 85,000 pounds. This box is supposed to be 4,000. It weighs 7,000.
Once again, reality does not line itself up with expectation. And there we are left wanting.
And that's one of the benefits of our job of being paid by the hour.
Oh.
I didn't care. I still got paid. It was just, in my mind, a delay. But it was not a problem. Where, can you imagine you're a load hauler. You just lost 4 hours of your day, you know, on that run.
Find jobs, people. that pay by the hour. The only way the industry, I thought about this because we've had an ongoing sort of, not really a debate, but kind of a conversation about the industry moving to more of an hourly wage rather than paid by the mile or paid by, you know, percentage of gross, whatnot. Because the person who benefits the least when you're paid by the mile is the driver, and moving to a system where people are paid by the hour can be beneficial. I think it'd be beneficial to the company as well, because you can command a higher sort of a higher quality of driver, because you're offering a higher quality of compensation. But anyway, go and get jobs, seek out jobs that are paid by the hour, and make those kind of jobs the ones that are sought after the most. And maybe that might have an effect on the industry and push some of these companies
you and I talked about this many times. The companies can benefit because we live literally by technology, knows what we're doing, when we're doing it, who we're doing. And they see everything we do. They know what we're doing. So if you're going to screw off, they know it. They see it, and they can confront you with it. But in the reverse side of it, it's just like punching a clock. Everybody gets to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and drives till 5 o'clock, clocks out because of the tablets. Then there's nowhere to park.
Unfortunately, I think companies are all too aware that it's not just the driver screwing around that's causing these delays. It's the, you know, the shippers, receivers too. I mean, it's a tale as old as time.
A flat tire, a broken windshield, DOT. And,
shipping
receivers. But the problem with that, everybody in that scenario, the shipper and receiver, the DOT cops, the tire guy that fixes your tire, the windshield guy, and your company all get paid no matter what happens. You don't.
You do
That's
not.
That's the problem.
So seek out jobs that do pay you for that kind of thing, and maybe that can push the needle. I'm not saying it will, but
I got hope. I'm trying. I'm hoping really hard.
Dave sees a world where we're all paid what we deserve, and I want that world to exist.
But realistically, it probably ain't going to happen. Not while I'm twisting a wheel. Because we're running out of days for me doing this. So.
We're going to keep talking about doing this, but I could foresee a time when we're not actually doing this. But I think that's part of what makes the show sort of unique, is that we're not just people talking about other people doing something. You know, we're out there doing this ourselves. I'm still sore from the week I had.
By the way, have you done this yet? And I've done this probably about 4 or 5 times. And our safety director, your trucks are all set up so if you have to do a hard brake, it sends a signal.
Yeah.
So I just wait until I'm out there all by myself driving along, and I stand on the brake drill. And the safety director, what was the hard braking for? Just see if you guys were paying attention, keeping you awake. He said, you set off all kinds of alarms when you do that.
Or drive naked. Yeah, that's a good way to know if they're looking at the camera.
Yeah.
I told them too, like when they put them cameras in the truck, I said, Mike, I think for 1 second you're watching me going down the road, I'm going to sit here in this seat, butthole naked.
Butthole naked, yeah. Well, luckily they told us, tape your lens up, put them cat covers over. I don't want to see you in the camera.
You're welcome.
That is too funny.
Oh, geez.
But I've done a couple TikToks. TikTok's kind of blowing up on us right now. We're doing really good number-wise. We're getting a lot of followers on it. We're doing a lot of likes and stuff. I guess that's good. I'm still learning it, but it's just going great. I get a lot of comments, a lot of remarks, and that's what's good. People are wishing good days. And I've done a couple stupid lives. I did a live show while I was getting my 20 minutes, getting my tire fixed. I thought, well, I have plenty of time. And Harry was done. I'm like, oh, I got to get off of here. He's done already.
Well, the thing is, they gamify the whole thing. They make you. Okay. So when I set up the TikTok,
I got a rose. So I don't know what that means, but
I don't either, but I see other people in live streams get different things. And
yeah,
I think people are making some kind of a living at it. We'll see how it goes. It seems like TikTok's where it's at though right now.
Oh, that's a huge,
the biggest audience. But they gamify it. They make you like jump through hoops in order to get to the point. Like right now, we cannot stream the show as it is because of the technical layers we have to put in place to get all of us in a stream on TikTok. They want you to like do other things first. And God love Dave. They wanted us to do a couple of live streams for 25 minutes each. And, that's not really up my alley. But I told Dave about it. By God, he just did it.
Well, I did the first one and then got my first warning from TikTok because I was just filming driving down the road, camera pointing forward on its bracket and talking to it, you know. And I went by two parked semis on an off-ramp. And it said I was endangering people or something and threw a violation and kicked me off. So I got my first violation already. Got slapped around already from TikTok. I feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
So
I'm approaching it. I've built a whole nother machine over here to do the ticky-tacky things. And so we'll see how it goes.
As I always tell Malia, once we get this all figured out on this old interweb, we'll be ready to go.
That daggum old technology they're doing all them mark clickety click.
Nothing like 60-year-old guys out here trying to do play with the guy stern 12.
Daggum. But you put our age out there, but I ask my children about some of this stuff. They're just as fuck-witted as my parents.
Well, that's a plus.
There is, you either know this stuff or you don't. You go learn it, but it really doesn't have an age demographic attached.
You got to get elbow deep in it before
It's surprising. Farming is one of those things that you could probably put in the same category where there's a lot to know and you either know it or you don't. And
it's all trial and error. Either I'm going to plant the seed neat this year or I'm going to plant the seed and
so
start.
You got to learn. Okay, you've got that imperative. You got that visceral imperative that if you want to eat, if you want to be able to make next year's balloon payment on the property, then you're going to have you're going to have a good yield, you know, and that's the limit of my knowledge about farming right there.
Three inches apart, 2.5 inches deep. Best crop you'll ever get on corn.
Well, you heard it here on Three Fat Truckers, everybody.
The corn experts. I got that from one of my YouTubers, and I even throw him out a little. It's called Cole the Corn Star. I follow him on YouTube. So
there you go. It's interesting too because you could say that. I think in the past you could say that I was my daddy was a farmer, grandfather was a farmer, and that's why I know it so well. But nowadays, the way technology has infiltrated that industry, you know, it's.
It freaked some out because we were talking and you know what I'm getting ready to say because we talked about it, but they were testing a new field cultivators, what we call it around here, out west and up north. They call them diggers. They were testing a new one and the dealership brought it out with an autonomous tractor and they stood there in the ditch while the tractor drove up and down the field and all by itself. Nobody in it. Why they watched it? So, farming will be.
I'm really, really not crazy about autonomous technology in any line of work.
You heard about the riots in California? They called up. They were shared. They were burning the cars, so they would text it and order a car to the riot site, set it on fire. That's what they were doing. So they shut the system down. So couldn't order any more cars.
So I was just getting ready to say. So if you own an autonomous like Lyft or whatever in that area, I would go ahead and maybe not send anybody any cars down there.
Well, do you remember when we first got the little scooter bicycles downtown?
Yeah,
they were everywhere. I mean, you've seen them.
I didn't have too much of a problem with that.
I didn't either. Did you ever do it?
No.
Oh, it's great. Because here's how it works. I'll put my card up there and I'll put it on there and say, there you go, Bill, and let you get about three blocks away. Then I'll put my card on a new one and yours will shut off and you have to walk back. That was one of the games, everybody. So it's like, oh, I'm
then you would have to hear my mouth when I got back.
Some of the dirty tricks played with when you technology can be abused just as well as it can be good.
Well, So I think that's probably a good demonstration of these trucking companies hiring guys, and now you're at the mercy of how they pay, because it feels like the same damn thing to me. You know, you're paid what they are willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. You know, and it feels like the exact same thing. We're going to turn it on so you can get three blocks away, and then you got to find your own way back.
Yeah, yeah. And hiring immigrants that need a home, a job, and a living all in one setting.
Boy, there is nothing new about that. I remember a story in the 90s of course, I wasn't into podcasting or anything in the 90s, if it even existed.
Oh, we were still working on email then.
I don't want to call anybody out, but it was, I think I remember the name of the suburb of Chicago. I think this was around about 96 or 97. They were selling
Western Express.
Well, they were selling. It was a particular branch of DMV in the Chicago area that was selling CDLs to
immigrants.
Yeah. And
kind of like the calling cards, huh? You can stop at any truck stop, buy the calling cards.
Put the money in the machine, it spits out the card, and you scrape off the number.
So then you got to go to the TA.
Oh, my God. Those. You guys that overly romanticize about the old days, you need to sit down and take a good, hard, long look at your life, because that shit sucked. I'm sorry. The calling cards sucked. Check-in calls sucked. Payphones sucked. Yeah.
What about broke down walking up to the farmer's house with a gun pointed at you? Hey, can I borrow your phone? I got broke down out here.
You know, we don't take too kindly to outsiders around here. Yeah, no.
And then being the wintertime, 40 below, the thing don't start. You got no communication. Back then, we did have CBs. We were helping ourselves. We helped each other.
That's you say that. We talked to each other.
Yeah,
but
it helped. It was pretty good in the 70s and 80s. The 90s, I think it started falling off a little bit. But
yeah,
but can you imagine back in the 40s and 50s where you drove 40 mile an hour? A full run. This blows me away. I see this on YouTube. This guy leaves Chicago on Tuesday, and he drives all night to get it for Cleveland so he can lay over and then come back. That was a full run at 45 mile an hour.
That was a week.
He drove out there.
Yeah.
And he was done that night, and then he got another run back. Now, I do that in 4 hours, 3.5 hours. I go from Chicago to Cleveland.
You go Chicago to Cleveland in 3 hours?
4 hours.
I'm going to call you on this.
Hey, don't go with my – don't blame my math.
I'm thinking you might be gilding the lily just a bit on this one. Okay, hammer Toledo down, how truck driver. I'll give you Toledo.
And okay. 3 hours Toledo. 4 hours.
You're about halfway there, just about. Well, maybe a little more than halfway.
I used to haul out of Huron, Ohio, right next to Cedar Point. Matter of fact, I had a heated trailer, and I had to literally go to Cedar Point to get the propane tank filled. The hall paint in the wintertime.
I hated those stupid things. Because it wasn't.
Well.
It wasn't easy to find propane back in the day. Maybe the Flying J's in the newer places.
Flying J's. They're all TA 76s and Petros.
Orange Ball 76. Yeah. And they didn't always, propane. You know, they should. Nowadays, shoot, you can get anything anywhere. But at the time, it wasn't.
Camper parking at Love's now. You can go camping at Love's for a weekend. Woohoo, that would be fun. Full hookups.
Go out there and park with the big dogs.
Drive out to to Dyersburg, Tennessee. They just put in a four spot. So you can take your camper out there, hook your water sewer up, and then you're living out there camping in the parking lot at Lowe's for a weekend. There we go, kids. We went camping. Bill, take your little, fire pit with you.
I was talking to the wife about doing that. Well, she brought up doing that. I'm like, I don't know, because when I'm at the truck stop, especially at night, and I'm looking for a parking spot, the people that get the most hate out of me is them RVs that are sitting in a truck parking space, because, I mean, that's where you would have to park one of those things.
Okay, and I'm going to call out the guys. I understand. Yes, you are allowed to park your bobtail in a full spot. Leave. Go find a smaller one. Go up front. Help a brother out. I know you don't have to, but it would be nice. Or the new one is just seeing a pickup, a one-ton dually where they're sleeping in it in one of the regular parking spots, and nobody can park there. And he's, you know, go up.
The bobtails, though.
Yeah.
You'll have four guys from the same company.
All parked side by side.
All parked four abreast instead of, like, at least putting two per spot, you know, because they all got their reasons. Well, I don't know when I'm leaving or whatnot. Yeah, it'll drive you nuts. But truck parking, we could sit and talk about that, for God's sake.
Hours of shows there.
Oh, God. we could start a series on that, for crying out loud. But that's the, we're at the end of it here.
Date's over, get out.
Date's over, get out. You knew what this was.
That's the best part about dating homeless women. You just pull up to
just any drop old them park, off anywhere.
Pull up to any old park, say date's over, get out. Go home.
Fantastic. That wasn't very nice.
I know.
That it's not like they're gonna hear the joke.
Ain't no worse than you and picking up homeless women and letting them live with you for 3 weeks on the road.
Hey, if they pass the test. Oh, gosh, folks. You know what? Get a hold of us on the socials. Email the show at 3ftpodcast.org. Comment on the website. Comment on the YouTube. Comment anywhere you see us. I don't know. But for God's sake, just comment.
Commenting on TikTok. They are commenting. We get a lot.
Yeah, apparently it's important. I wish I understood this shit. I really do. But apparently, like, a comments of five words or more is one of the most important things you could get people to do for you. So
now you got to say five words.
I guess. Say hello and then, hey, how are you doing? There you go. You did it.
There you did it, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, we're going to do this every week. That's our commitment to you, that we're going to give you fresh live stream goodness every week, every Saturday at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.
Show up 7:10. We'll be on by then.
We'll have all the dumb shit out of the way by 7:10, maybe.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. You're not looking for an off the gun starter start, you know. So,
well, you know, if we would stop changing shit, if we would stop trying to add things to the show, you know, it would be a lot easier to have a routine where we're starting on time and everything works. And then if everybody had one
Christmas, we will be that way.
It will get that way, and I think we've gotten to a point where we can pretty much guarantee that we're going to have quality.
Somebody will
recording.
Be on live on Facebook, even if it's me standing in a parking lot with my phone in the rain and nobody else is there. I'll be on live. Somebody will be on. That you can count on.
Oh gosh, he's my old partner.
Yeah.
We teamed with in the 90s. And he loves telling everybody about how the rainbow stranger followed me all the way across Texas. It's true. I was so stupid in those days. I didn't know that flashing your headlights in the rest area.
Buddies, they like just being friendly.
Yeah. So. Well, there's things you do and things you don't do, and I know that now. Anyway, yeah, let's wrap it up. We'll be back next week, we promise. Until then, I've been Bill.
And I'm not Dave no more.
You're not?
I give it up. I throw the rag in it. I'm just Old Romeo and
Old Broke Dick Frickin'.
If you know that joke, you will know you've known me a long time.
So. Old Romeo.
Yes.
I've heard one or two stories, and I think the name might be appropriate. So, yeah.
Back then it was. Today it ain't.
Anyway, we'll see you, folks.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right. Bye.
NASCAR on Prime is gearing up for the tricky triangle at Pocono. After 5 decades of racing tradition, it's clear that strategy is king at Pocono. 3 legendary turns, 3 unique approaches. Who will tame the triangle this year? Don't miss the Cup Series at Pocono, streaming Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR, it's on Prime.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.